This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 1205. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour. As another trading week is underway, I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. It's a little chilly, times for clouds and sun, a high temperature of 43. Right now, we have temperatures in the 30s.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, the Dow is higher by 5 points now to 25,853. NASDAQ gaining 6, S&P up 5. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index is also higher by almost a tenth of a percent. Boeing's troubles are piling up. Sources tell Bloomberg the Department of Transportation is examining how the company won FAA design certification for the 737 MAX before the second of the two crashes. And FAA staff warned 7 years ago that Boeing had too much sway over safety approvals of new planes. That prompted auditors to say the agency hadn't done enough to hold the company accountable. And stock in Boeing down 2.5% now, lower by more than 16% in March. The price of oil is on the rise as OPEC and its allies reaffirm their commitment to production cuts that began at the beginning of the year with the goal of lifting oil prices. It's definitely working. Crude at $59.05, up 28% since January 1. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we'll speak with our contrarian stock picker and also what's the latest in the marijuana business.
And we will talk about Facebook as there is an executive exodus at the company. Is it because of plans for major changes at Facebook, especially the platform? All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
A Chicago-based cannabis company is making a major buy. We're going to be covering that on our next segment. But right now, the latest gauge in home builder sentiment is out, while the week ahead will include a meeting of the Fed. We welcome Josh Shapiro. He's the chief U.S. economist at the New York-based economic and marketing consultant firm at MFR, Inc. Josh, welcome back to the Noon Business Hour.
Thank you.
What do we learn about homeowner sentiment that can advise us as we invest?
Well, the home builder index is off its lows. I mean, it's sort of bounced in January a bit and improved in February and stayed there in March, but it's still well off the high numbers we saw before that. So I think it's kind of a medium sort of signal. I think more importantly is that single-family housing starts and home sales are kind of back in sync with each other. So it's really going to be a home sales story going forward. It's going to be demand that's going to drive housing starts and builder activity. And I think that the longer-term view there is kind of, I think, a modest downtrend. I think that we're getting support from the labor market and incomes, but I think there's a general sense out there that the market has peaked, and I think also that affordability is less than it had been. So I think that that's going to outweigh the labor market.
Is it? Are there any signs toward a real pullback or a recession?
Well, no, I don't see that. I just think that things got pretty frothy, and we're correcting off of that. But I don't see that we have anywhere near the excess that we had in the last cycle at this stage. So no, I do think that it's going to soften, but housing is just too small of a sector to pull the economy down on its own unless there's a true disaster. And I don't see that in the cards.
Do mortgage rates, do they impact existing home sales and new construction in a similar way? I mean, they were going up for a while, now they're back down. And just wondering if that impacts each of those markets the same.
Yeah, it's. I think it certainly does. I mean, you know, new homes are relatively more expensive. I mean, new construction than an existing home. So, to the extent that mortgage rates were higher and new home prices were very high, that hit affordability in the new home sector more than existing homes. But just looking at mortgage rates alone, they would affect both of them pretty much the same.
Talking about the Fed, let's switch over to that. Do we expect, what sort of news, I guess, are we expecting on rates when Jerome Powell speaks on Wednesday?
Well, there's not going to be any movement on rates. I mean, so the markets are going to be looking at other things. And the things that they're really going to focus on will be if there's any news about the winding down of the balance sheet reduction. Analysts are kind of split on whether we're going to get any sort of announcement or whether it's going to wait to the next meeting or subsequent meetings. But if they do announce it, it's likely to be towards the end of the year. They're going to stop that reduction. So markets will be focusing on that. They're going to look at the so-called dots, which is the forecasts of or expectations of each FOMC member of where the Fed funds target will be at year end this year and next year. So what that implies for potentially the policy path, most people are expecting either zero or one tightening to be the outcome for the remainder of this year. And then any changes to the forecasts in terms of economic activity and whatever message that might send about the policy path. And then, of course, Mr. Powell's testimony, his Q&A, his press conference. And I would expect him to continue to bang the table about the patience and, you know, we want to see more information and the global economy is slowing, but the domestic economy is okay. So there's cross currents and that sort of stuff.
Let's talk about him for just a moment. Is he a straight shooter or does there have been some in the past who tell you about what they feel about the economy and housing and yet it they don't really get to the point?
Well, I think he's pretty much of a straight shooter, yes. I mean, I think that we're at the point now with monetary policy where the future is not, there's no clear path. For a long time, the path was, well, we're going to try to normalize things and raise interest rates and everything else. We're now at a stage where they've done a lot of that, and the economic outlook is uncertain. There's a lot of political risk out there in terms of trade and Brexit and what have you. And inflation really hasn't picked up very much at all. And I think that they're sitting there the same way that most people are, saying, well, I want more information before I decide what we're going to do. So you're going to get a lot of that. It's, on the one hand, on the other hand, it'll sound a lot like an economist, I think.
Thanks for the insight, Josh Shapiro, chief U.S. economist at the New York-based economic and market consulting firm MFR, Inc. Coming up, a Chicago company expands its cannabis market as the state of Illinois wants to make it easier for pot businesses to use banks.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Chicago's Cresco Labs is buying a Florida marijuana grower and distributor, meaning it will now have operations in 10 states. Let's focus on the expanding business and also a call in Illinois for banks to have easier involvement in the industry. Charlie Bachtel is founder and CEO of Cresco Labs here in Chicago. Charlie, let's begin with the banking industry when it comes to marijuana and all of the various companies involved in it. They have a tough time, actually impossible time, actually getting their money into banks. Just talk about that and maybe some of what Illinois is trying to do here announced that they'd like the banks to actually be able to work with pot dealers and other businesses.
Sure. Thanks, Cisco. Yeah. You know, banking in the cannabis space has always been challenging. We've been fortunate enough, and I think it has a lot to do with our backgrounds, my founders and myself having a background prior professional experience in the banking industry, to establish at least operational accounts with state-chartered banks in all of the states that we work in. But that definitely is the exception, not the rule. The step that Illinois is taking here and actually legislating that level of protection and level of comfort into law in the state of Illinois will be a great benefit and hopefully open up the doors to banking for all operators in the state.
Because yeah, what are they doing now? I mean, they just take all their money and shovel into some kind of a warehouse or something because they don't want the government to confiscate it?
I would say in the highly regulated compliance-focused markets like Illinois, a lot of the more Generation 2 cannabis states, you do have state charter banks and credit unions that will elect to bank you. And again, with operational accounts only, there's no debt, no lines of credit, anything like that. But they'll at least allow you to open up operational accounts. And usually per state, that's really only like two or three of them that will allow you to do that. If you're not fortunate enough to be in a state that has that sort of highly regulated nature and the local banks get comfortable, then yeah, I mean, you're dealing with a very large cash management process that can be very challenging.
Charlie, back in the 60s and the 70s, when it was, you know, illegal to smoke anything, practically, there was the argument of morality and legality when it came to pot. What gave?
You know, I think it's a very in-depth sort of answer that would go with that. I think you've seen public perception change dramatically over the last 5-6 years. When we first looked at this in August of 13, when Illinois passed the Compassionate Use Act, that was really kind of a tipping point, I think, across the country, where people really started to see the legitimacy of the medical effects and the efficacy associated with it, and public perception really started to change in a big way. And now, I mean, medical cannabis in most all of the recent polls show medical cannabis polls at north of 90%, and that's across the country. We jokingly say that there's truly nothing else that polls at 90% or plus, not even free money. I mean, you could ask 100 people if they would like a free $100 bill, and you'll get less than 90% of them that'll actually take it out of pure caution. So I think seeing the medical efficacy, knowing there's a lot of personal connections is a big reason for that change in sentiment. Everybody that I talk to these days either talks about the personal benefits that they've received for it while going through some sort of condition, whether it be cancer or otherwise, or somebody in their immediate family has. So I think there's a lot of components that go into it. But on the medical side, it's truly a personal connection. Everybody now has a story like that.
Charlie, thanks for joining us today. Charlie Bachtel is founder and CEO of Cresco Labs here in Chicago. Still ahead, an update on the markets from Bloomberg, and later Facebook deals with a downgrade from a leading analyst.
WBBM News Time 12:25, a check of the markets from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, all three of the main averages are in the green. The Dow is up 11 points to 25,860. NASDAQ advancing 9 points, S&P up 6. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is higher by 0.1%. Mark Wahlberg is expanding his fitness-related investment portfolio, buying a minority stake in Australian franchise F45 Training. The company has more than 1,500 studios in 40 countries. It may open as many as 10,000 franchises alone in North America. Now let's turn to Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mixed prices here this morning. I had things a little higher early. Corn was up too early in the day, and then down 3. We're presently down 2.5 at 379.75 in July corn. Beans early, again, we're up 2, but then they've been out as much as 8 at the moment. July beans down 5.25. And the wheat up 1 early, went down 7. We're still down 7 in the May wheat at 455. Mixed prices here at the Board of Trade. This is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. We've got oil prices heading higher, up 1% and above $59 a barrel. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg. Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got 39 degrees right now. We're expecting a high temperature in the 40s. And these are our top stories on News Radio, WBBM.
Markets are a little higher. We'll see what's moving Wall Street.
In our Stock Picker Monday segment, we'll have suggestions from an investment pro.
Shares of Facebook suffer over worries that privacy issues are driving away users.
Illinois State Treasurer is among those who would like to make it easier for banks to work with medical marijuana companies.
Police in the Netherlands are searching for a gunman who killed 3 people and wounded 5 others in a possible terror attack.
Well, we have some small gains on Wall Street. The Dow Industrials up 11, the NASDAQ up 8, and the S&P 500 up by about 5.
Mix of sun and clouds in Chicagoland throughout your day, heading to a high of 43. Right now, 38 O'Hare and Midway, 39 along the lakefront. The Noon Business Hour is presented by Old Second Bank.
Well, markets have eased into positive territory, even though it's small. We are joined by Jim Awad, Senior Managing Director at Clearstead Advisors in LLC in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Jim, how do you read the markets today?
Well, the markets are looking for equilibrium. You had that big decline in December. You've essentially made it back so far this year. You're up around 12%. And I think the markets are looking for guidance from corporations as they report first quarter earnings as to what the rest of the year is going to look like. Is the earnings recession, as we call it, going to be only one quarter? And are we then going to resume growth in earnings in the back three quarters of the year? If so, the markets should be able to make further progress with the Fed on hold and the China negotiations, at least for the moment, constructive and ongoing. So I think that's what's standing between the market and regaining the old highs. And we'll know in a few weeks. Earnings season starts the first week in April, and we'll roll out during the month of April, and we'll see then whether the markets can make another 4 or 5% to make this a very respectable year.
Well, what kind of signals are we getting from the Fed?
Well, I think the Fed is on hold, and I think prudently so. They want to see certain parts of the economy are holding up reasonably well. Others are showing signs of softening. You have the softening coming, being imported from Europe and from China. And I think the Fed is evenly perched with the ability to keep rates where they are or to go up one notch or to go down one notch, depending on how the economic scenario plays out for the rest of the year. But the negative long-term rates overseas are pulling down U.S. rates, and that makes it difficult for the Fed to lean against that and raise rates unless you get a real sign that the economy is reaccelerating in the back half of the year. So for the moment, I think the Fed's on hold, and the critical issues are earnings and the China negotiations, and then, of course, the ongoing shenanigans in Washington, which seem like they're never going to go away.
Got some earnings. It'll be announced later on this week. We talked about marijuana in our last segment. Tilray, probably one of the big, if not the biggest. What's the markets looking for in regard to a company like Tilray?
Yeah, that's not an important. It's not one I follow closely, but that's not an important. That's a company specific, industry specific. It doesn't speak to the economy and broadly what's going on in the economy. So, depending on how they report, the stock will go up or down based on expectations. It's a new company in a new industry. And very interesting for those who are involved, but not important in terms of the broader economy and the market.
Yeah, and is that one of the challenges when it comes to thinking about investing in something like marijuana and all of its various aspects, all the different companies involved, is we just don't know exactly how it's going to go and who the winners are going to be?
Yeah, it's much too early. I would say if you have an interest in the area, put together a package of stocks. You'll have some winners and some losers. But I would rather concentrate on more broad economic and fundamental issues that affect broader parts of the economy, because those will be the engine that drives stock prices.
The Boeing stock is slightly down from 9% today. What do you feel about that? Is it time to maybe invest?
Yeah, my experience is when you get great companies like this that are market dominant and you buy them during periods of weakness, you usually end up making money, but it could take some time. They have to get to the bottom of what went wrong, how they can fix it, and now they want to look at what was the company too close to the regulators, and what can we do to make sure that doesn't happen again. So my guess is the stock has not bottomed. We'll have some more turbulence. But if you're an investor who can look out 2, 3, 4, 5 years, this is one of two companies that dominate that industry. And the customers can't really go any place else because Airbus has its own long backlog. So I would think if you're patient and you think as an investor and not a stock trader, it ought to be okay. But that doesn't mean it's going to make you money in the next 30 days.
What was the other business that you referred to?
Airbus is the other company I referred to. In other words, if you're a customer of Boeing, you either keep your order and assume that they're going to fix it, or you try to go to Airbus. But Airbus has a very long backlog and probably couldn't fulfill your order. So I think customers of Boeing are locked in, and we'll stick with the company, and the company will work its way through this problem. I mean, obviously, it's a horrible issue. It's a tragedy, but it's Boeing, and it's one of two companies that dominate an industry that's destined to grow. And they need to fix this. And if there's any punishment that needs to be doled out, they'll take the punishment. And again, if you think like Warren Buffett, you'll end up, my guess is, over time making money.
Jim Awad, thanks for being with us. Always good to have you here. Jim is Senior Managing Director at Clearstead Advisors, LLC, in New York. Up next, privacy concerns continue to dog Facebook.
A wallet full of information. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Facebook shares are down amid concerns over a loss of users and top management. Let's get the latest from Dan Gallagher, tech reporter for the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street column, based in San Francisco. Dan, let's begin by talking about the exodus of executives. What's going on here at Facebook?
Well, I mean, they've been losing a lot of people over the last year, ever since, the first kind of scandal hit with this Cambridge Analytica, and that was almost exactly a year ago. So in that time, they've had a lot of high-ranking people leave. What we saw recently last week was a man named Chris Cox, who is arguably the third highest-ranking executive there after Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg. He stepped down. And from what it looks like, it was a move of that's part of Facebook's new effort that they made a big deal of just a few days prior, that they're going to really focus on new types of social networking, which is more about private and small group sharing and less about, this kind of public news feed that everybody's used to.
Yeah, which is interesting, isn't it? That obviously Facebook has a lot of data about people's patterns and what they like and what they don't like. So in that sense, maybe they sort of know what they're doing and making these changes. But that news feed seems to have been such a big part of what Facebook has been from the beginning.
Not if you go back to the very beginning. It was actually something that came in, later as the network evolved. But yes, it's a major part of the tool. It's also the major part of how they generate business. So it's hard to know what the Facebook of the future is going to look like, with what Mr. Zuckerberg envisions. Is it still going to generate the same kind of advertising revenue at the same rate it does, because it's kind of unprecedented what they're trying to do. But what is clear from this departure that we saw last week is that they're really trying, at least they need a lot of new people at the higher levels of the company in order to pull this off.
We just had a conversation about contrarian stock picking, like the Boeing company doing really well, even though it's having when it's having a really rough area, it's time then, to maybe pick up some stocks. Is Facebook like that, too? Is that something where you're waiting to find a way to invest in it?
Yeah, and I mean, certainly you can make an argument for the, business as it stands now looks like it's not overvalued with the stock where it is. I think the thing investors are going to struggle with, though, is that there's really a lot of unknowns ahead for this company, this major business change that they are looking to make, what sort of new regulations may come into play that could affect the business, and you have events like this terrible shooting in New Zealand last week that was streamed over it, that gets, that gets the company a lot of very negative attention as well. So, there's all those unknowns that are kind of different from a lot of normal stocks, even companies in sort of a crisis. So, maybe there's an investment there to make if somebody has a strong stomach for it, but I don't think we're at the point now where all the surprises are out of it.
Are we able to tell with some of the departures of some of the execs, is it purely philosophical or is there maybe some leadership challenges there where some people just don't necessarily like what's going on at Facebook?
Well, I mean, it's probably a mix of the two things, and it depends on who you're talking about. I mean, they saw these two companies that they bought, Instagram and WhatsApp, for a lot of money. The founders of both of those companies have now left, and it was pretty clear that was because of disagreements with Mark Zuckerberg and other top managers. With Mr. Cox, it's still a bit unclear whether he felt he had to go or. Was encouraged to go, because what seems to be is that when you have somebody who is so publicly associated with the way Facebook was, now they're trying to get a new crop of people in.
Dan Gallagher, thanks for all the information. Dan is tech reporter for the Wall Street Journal's Heard on the Street column based in San Francisco. This time tomorrow, Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday stock picker.
Cashing in with conversation. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:50, and it is time now to our stock picker on Monday, and we welcome back Matt Shapiro, president of MWS Capital here in Chicago. Thanks for coming on the program today, Matt. What's your first choice?
Chris. First choice is Boeing, which everyone is talking about, Chris. Of course, we live in such a connected world with these tragedies overseas, as if they really happened here, and of course, the company has to deal with it under tremendous pressure, and a lot of investors are asking themselves, you know, should I buy Boeing? Should I buy more? Should I wait? And we have been taking quite a careful look at it. Obviously, we own plenty. And I think one of the interesting things about Boeing is it's become almost a growth stock. So most industrial stocks nowadays have a lower P.E. ratio just because investors feel they're just, you know, risks in the future of a slowdown or something like that. Boeing has been able to escape that. And because this exogenous, tremendous growth of the airline market that seems to be immune to any slowdown in the broader economy. So that's a great positive trend. That said, the problems with these planes is very serious. It seems that the news coming out is in one way good, that it seems that the Ethiopian crash is the same as the one in Indonesia. So they know what the problem is, they know what the fix is, but there's lots of questions being raised about the processes at Boeing. And of course, I think they could be facing fines and, quite a bit of a pullback in some sort of statement of a $2 billion charge or something to the program. And I think that's more realistic. It's amazing that the stock is not lower than 370. It seems to have a tremendous amount of support. So I think what my message to listeners out there is that if some more bad news comes out and the stock gets around 350, 355, I think that's a really attractive spot for the stock.
So you would sit for now?
If I had a client ask me, Matt, you know, hey, Boeing, you want to do some? Sure. What's the real price? I'm kind of holding out maybe 355, but it doesn't seem to want to go there. Investors really want to be in this industrial growth story.
All right, Boeing, first pick. What's your second pick?
Second pick is a Brexit play, which, of course, if you've seen the news about Brexit, it's so absolutely confusing. It seems like they're going to muddle through. So I've been looking at a couple stocks in England to buy, and what the English and the British seem to do well is information technology. So this stock is called RELX. The symbol is REL. It's actually traded as an ADR here in the United States. And it has, if you're an attorney and you use LexisNexis, they own that heavy-duty software that tracks all sorts of legal cases across the world, scientific, technical documentation. The company has been growing quite rapidly. It's in essentially the scientific publishing business, and it's all online now. So they've effectively transitioned into that. The stock trades about $22 U.S. dollars, and this is kind of in the wheelhouse of the British, and I think it's a good stock that's not just a play on Brexit that is riding, of course, the surge in scientific publishing and all sorts of heavy technical information that has to be done by Fortune 500 companies in this modern world.
Thanks so much, Matt Shapiro, president, MWS Capital, our Monday stock picker. Boeing and RELX Group are his two picks. Bloomberg checks the markets next. WBBM News Time 12:55, wrapping up the noon business hour with a check of the markets, sponsored by Baird. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the Dow is higher by 35 points now, while NASDAQ is gaining 13 points, or almost 0.2%. The S&P up 0.25%, or about 8 points, to 2830. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is higher by 0.2%. Employees at the FAA warned 7 years ago that Boeing had too much influence over safety approvals of new planes. That prompted an investigation by auditors who confirmed the agency wasn't holding Boeing accountable. Bloomberg has learned that regulators were examining the 737 MAX's certification. before the second of the two deadly crashes. Crude oil futures up 1% now to $59.11 a barrel. With business at 25 and 55, live from the Bloomberg Newsroom, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.